Welcome to Charged Up Studio Live, where small business owners get charged up for success. Are you a small business owner? Do you find yourself struggling through the many responsibilities that come with the title entrepreneur? Well, we're here for you. Charged Up Studio is hosted by Market Academy LLC, your prescription for what we call OPA. What is OPA? It's when you become so overwhelmed with the confusion that comes with business ownership that you become paralyzed and ultimately avoid doing anything in hopes it will take care of itself or you put it off till later. Does that sound familiar? I'm your host, Dan Olivo, and each week we bring a business professional eager to charge you up as they talk about the many things that keep you from moving forward with your small business. So are you ready to get charged up for success? Let's hit it. So welcome back to Charged Up Studio, where we uncover the hidden gems of business success and learn from industry experts. I'm Dan Olivo, your host, and today we're continuing our monthly focus on Market Smart, winning strategies for small business success. A big part of entrepreneurial responsibility lies in understanding when to go big and when to hold when it comes to making costly decisions about our small businesses. How many of you out there have quickly jumped on the promise of guaranteed results only to have the results not come to fruition? So come on now. I bet all of you out there have been caught behind the eight ball in this exact scenario. The cost was high, not only in dollars, but in stress and anxiety, with little or no return. Well, today's guest is a fellow business growth strategist who enjoys working with small business owners like you, all of you out there. Known as the Impact Influencer, he has worked with organizations of all sizes, but his specialty lies in working with small businesses and entrepreneurs. Man after my own heart here. He founded Moving Forward Small Business, a membership-based organization that helps businesses grow and achieve their goals through practical and actionable advice. He holds industry certifications in Google, HubSpot, SEMrush, Cascade, and Trainual?
Trainual. Yes.
He is also a board and committee member for various organizations, including the New York Marketing Association, Start Small, Think Big, International Business Development Professional, and the New York Board of Education. So let's all give a charged up studio welcome to Mr. Jimmy Newsom with Moving Forward Small Business. Welcome, Jimmy.
Thank you, and thank you for having me, Dana, and thank you for everyone else for hopefully listening all the way to the end.
So before we get started, I always ask my guests one specific question to kind of break the ice and help our audience get to know you a little better. So can we do that?
Absolutely.
Okay.
So go ahead.
So if you were to go back and confront your younger self, what sage advice would you give him? And at what age?
I would probably, I think that the thing that I've struggled with the most has been making sure financially things are set up. You know, I'm a marketing maniac, but my weak spot has been the financial side of things. So understanding the simplest of financial functionality would be a key element, because you need that in addition to all of the other things we're going to talk about today, so you can fluidly move and make decisions on your own and make sure that when you do, as entrepreneurs do, take these risks and jump off the cliff and make the parachute on the way down, you're still financially secure.
Well, and that, right. And when we talk about that, you know, that gets around to, understanding the cost that's associated with everything that you have to do within your small business. And that's why we're focused on this for this episode, is the fact that we're not really taking into consideration the total cost. And so we want to work together to help our audience members understand there is a strategy behind the decisions that you make in growing your small business.
Absolutely. And I would say that would probably be around 15, 16 years old when I
really did it early
to get the bug. Because I know that's when I knew that I wanted to be a business, something in business.
Yeah.
And even though I went into entertainment, I still knew I needed to be on the business side because I needed to control the conversation.
No, definitely. Definitely. You know, you got started earlier than I did, but I've always had that inkling in me, or that tendency in me, to strategically plan out my goals. Okay. School, college, high school, everything, my courses. Everything had to be mapped out in front of me. And that's where strategy comes in, because you have to have that roadmap. You never know what's going to jump in and interrupt that roadmap.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Absolutely.
So before we dive into our discussion, Jimmy, can you give us a brief history lesson on how you got involved in strategic growth planning?
Well, it definitely was not a straight path at all. You know, I remember my first venture was selling candy in the seventh grade. You know, I went to a little store right down from the school, and I saw this box of lollipops, and I don't know what came over me, but I bought the box of lollipops, and I had them in my backpack. I went to school, and all of a sudden, you know, I'm sucking on a lollipop, and someone was like, "Can I get one?" I was like, "Yeah, a quarter." And so they gave me a quarter. And so I did it again. Next thing you know, the box was empty. It was just before third period, which at this time was the witching hour. The witching hour is before lunch. People are starving. So I went and did it again. And this time I added a few more products. So I was, for the first time, making money. Now, I didn't know it was entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
Because that wasn't the language that was spoken in my house. You know, all I know was, wow, this is kind of cool, whatever this thing is. And then here's what happens. Competition. Didn't know what that was either. All of a sudden, other people saw me doing it. Now, I'm just strategically minded, even though I didn't know what that was. And so I was very careful about how I did my business, because it just made sense. Once competition came in, they weren't business. So they're doing it in front of on the side. They're not paying attention for the teachers looking, this and that. So the whole thing blew up. I didn't get caught because I was always careful, but they ruined the market.
Right.
Okay. That was my introduction to entrepreneurship. I was like, you mean I can make my own money and not have to ask for it from my parents, you know?
Right.
And then a few years later, I started carrying a briefcase, nothing in it. I just like carrying a briefcase. That was me going, all right, I need to be a businessman. And I didn't know what to put in it. Because again, none of that was in my life. So I didn't have the knowledge to understand the transition I needed to make or the steps I needed to take, which later on I found out were pretty simple. But when you don't hear this type of language, you don't know how simple it could possibly be. Fast forward, I went into the music industry because I wanted to help people. I wanted to influence people. So I figured at that time, entertainment was the best thing. If I want to influence lots of people, I need to be in entertainment so I can be on stage. So I started going into music and understanding music and singing and bands. And then, of course, then I went into music industry. I upset my teachers tremendously because they thought I was going to go into architecture and accounting.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I was a nerd. And so went into that, and then I left the entertainment industry because I got tired of babysitting these artists who thought that the world revolved around them.
Yeah.
And I said, what am I doing that is not, what am I doing that I can actually make money with? And at the time I started doing video production, music videos. Yeah. So I'll just do the same concept, but for businesses, for their business. And that was my transition into video production for corporate and small business. Next thing you know, I would go back to try to sell more video. They didn't want to buy more video. And I go, well, why didn't you? I go, the video was lovely. They go, the video was beautiful. We just put it up on YouTube and it didn't do anything. So it's not really a good investment for us. What they were really saying is we don't know what to do with the video. And they don't have a strategy around it. They probably didn't have the infrastructure in their business to support video being one of their main channels to drive revenue, to drive conversion. So I had to learn how to teach them how to leverage the video better, which got me deeper into marketing and digital marketing. And then as I got deeper into digital marketing, I still ran into the problem because they didn't have a solid business foundation. So then I had to start teaching them about how to build their foundation so they could leverage the digital strategy that I put in place for them better. You can't generate leads if you have a horrible website. If you're driving them to to an unoptimized page for conversion. If you're not clear on your messaging and your social media channels all look like different companies because they're not on the same page with each other and the website is just non-existent or horrible. Which doesn't do any support for you, for your brand when you're competing against other brands. When people will look at it and immediately go, "Well, you don't look like you should probably be in business." Not going to give you my money, right. You know. And that got me into business strategy and business consulting and advising. And then in 2020, I launched Moving Forward Small Business to be more of a platform for strategy line professionals so they can look at the bigger picture and always be a few steps ahead of their competition.
No, that's great. So, but, you know, and the funny thing is that the key word here is consistency. Mm-hmm. Key word here is consistency. And when we're talking about strategy, that's what we're building. We're building consistent brands is what we're doing, whether it be sound, whether it be smell, whether it be, you know, the visual, whether it be, you know, whatever it is, there's a consistency there, you know.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So let's move on with our conversation here. And the very first question I want to ask you is, What do you say strategic planning is, and why is it essential for small business?
Absolutely. And so, and this is the part that I stumbled on over the last few years, where I had to try to figure out, you know, what is the problem that most businesses are having? You know, most people think they have a finance problem. Some people think they have a human resources problem. Some think they have a marketing problem. At the end of the day, you have a strategy problem. If you don't strategize and determine what is that North Star, regardless of the path, then you're just doing things because of any reason but the right reason. So for me, strategic planning is the process of outlining the business directions, making decisions on allocating resources, establishing goals that are achievable, but that are still long-term enough where you can grow into them, but, you know, short enough where you can actually see things getting done. You know, excuse me. And it's essential for a small business because it becomes your driver, your North Star driver. Again, it gives you the steps when you've really outlined what that business plan, what that strategy looks like. You have a blueprint. You have the reason to say yes to the right things and no to things that look good but are not the right thing.
Right, right. And you know that's important. And yes, strategy is critical, but I think the underlying component to strategy is education first. You have to know what you want. You have to understand cash flow. You have to understand the components that go into strategy. When you were talking about the financial side, you know, how do you build business credit? How do you do this? Those are the kind of things that underlie the strategic aspect of it. Mm-hmm. You know? So education and understanding is key. You know, all the stories, all the reports out there all say, you know, well, lack of leadership, lack of funding, all of this are the reasons businesses fail. That's not the reasons they fail.
I couldn't agree with you 100%.
Right. Exactly.
I said that right. I hope I said that right.
Yeah. I think I knew what you meant.
I agree with you 100%. I couldn't agree with you more. There we go. We're getting there.
No, I think I knew what you meant, but it might not have come out that way. So yeah. What are some of the benefits if we are to implement a strategy? Okay. Explain, what are some of the benefits that we're going to see that are going to be critical to the growth of our business?
Yeah, it really comes down to, you know, we need to get things done. We need to get the right things done. So the benefit is you have clear objectives that match the your focus areas, the purpose, the vision, around the values of what you're trying to build. So everybody is on the same page, whether they're employees and staff, whether there's other types of stakeholders, you know, which goes up and down the line of the organization, depending on how big the organization. It helps get alignment with your vendors, with your external teams, such as freelancers, and even the customers. You know, the objectives are so clear that now we know what needs to be done. And now you're no longer guessing. It makes your decision-making processes not only better, but easier. You know, you can now identify growth opportunities. You can also identify what needs to be improved.
Right.
You know, strategy does so much for you, and that takes the most time, but that's where you should, you know, at some point in your business, you have to step back and stop being the practitioner and be the CEO.
Yeah.
Be the growth strategist and go, before I thought this was not worth my time because I needed to fulfill an order. Well, if you want to fulfill two orders, you're going to have to step back, work on a strategy so you have the team or the means of fulfilling two orders, but you still have free time to get to think bigger.
And that's exactly it. That's exactly it. What I tell my clients is when you start chasing checks, you're back to a J-O-B.
Absolutely.
You know, when you start having to chase those checks, you forget about why you went into business in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
What's your why? You know, so many small business owners go into business because they do or make some kind of product or service.
Right? Absolutely. But
they don't have that knowledge base to build an infrastructure around it. And that's where the knowledge comes in so that you can turn around and build a strategy. And that strategy, like you said, it gives you that roadmap. It helps prepare you. Now, depending on how you put the strategy together, you can have a sequencing strategy, okay? Or you can have just a plain strategy. A sequencing strategy will outline two or three different roadways, pathways, should something come up like COVID, which everybody did not expect, okay? But when something comes up, okay, if this happens, how am I going to turn around? How am I going to mitigate the effects that this is going to happen, you know, to my business? All right. So let's put in a plan B or a plan C on how I'm going to get around that area, you know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And I think that a lot of small businesses fear making that knowledge known. And, you know, we don't want to talk about that because it doesn't sound good for people to hear that. And you're going, but that lets people know that you really have your finger on the pulse.
Right.
You know, so even when it comes to investments, you know, an investor wants to know your SWOT analysis.
Yeah.
Which is your weak, you know, the two of the most important components is your weaknesses and your threats. What could stop you?
Right.
If you know what that is, you're in a better position for them to go, okay, because we know no business is without threats. No business is without weaknesses. You know what they are, so we feel more comfortable working with you instead of you running with your eyes closed going, nah, I don't want to hear it.
And that's true. And part of the leadership aspect of you as CEO, you need to train your team. You need to help your team understand what are the long-term goals? What are the short-term goals, you know, that we're going to be working towards? You know, when I'm working with my clients on a strategy, okay, number one, we start with revenue. Mm-hmm. Because revenue is the generator of everything else that you do. But revenue is only one small component. It's how you're going to make that revenue. What products or services are you going to introduce? What partnerships are you going to introduce? What resources are you going to need? All of that goes into your strategy so that you know, and then you have those metrics that that need to be put in place.
Absolutely. You know? And then even to build on top of that, we look at leading indicators versus lagging indicators,
you know, right.
Your KPIs. And that's when you have to tie your revenue generating, your revenue generating to a specific task, a specific path, a specific product. So now instead of someone saying, you know, we just want to do an extra $300 million a year. I know that's a lot of money. I just kind of threw that number out there.
I was going to say, yeah. You're not a small business bring it now.
Down. Yeah, it's not a small business. Let's say I want to generate an extra $50,000 a year.
Right.
You know, and you go, that's great. And then you just put that number out. That's a lagging indicator. That right. means it's not tied to anything, but so it doesn't give true clarity to how do we do that?
Right.
But the leading indicators, now we have to tie it to something through this new product, through
right.
this existing product, through, yeah. You know, looking at our current member base and figuring out how can we serve them more.
Exactly.
Now you've got a leading indicator to tie to that lagging indicator, which is that $50,000 in additional revenue. So now you have a better chance of achieving the $50,000 in revenue because now everybody can get on board with, well, what do we need to do to make that happen?
Right. And that's true. And this leads into one of my next questions as far as the critical components of a strategic plan. Like you said, the leading and the lagging, you know, it's important to understand those metrics are how you're going to know whether you're moving forward or not. Okay.
Absolutely.
Because it's so easy for us to set those things in place and set it over on the shelf and not pay attention to it.
Exactly. Okay? Yeah, and I want to put on that too, because again, if I say I want to make $50,000 more this year, and then I just go back to business as usual, that number can get lost because it doesn't motivate me to do something.
Right.
But if I decide I want to we want to focus on getting this product into the hands of 25,000 more new businesses this year, well, that's something that we're all excited to do, which is again going to allow us. Next thing you know, we look up. We didn't think about the 50K, but we thought about what we were trying to do with this product.
Right.
And the result of that, we saw 50K come in the bank account.
Yeah.
We didn't forget about it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. You know, and this is where the role of market research and data analysis comes in. Mm-hmm. Because if we can't, again, strategically map out how we're going to make that 50K, you know, what products are we going to bundle? What products or services are we going to, you know, introduce? Are they going to be new? Are they going to, you know, take a longer lead time in order to introduce them to the market? Are we going to expand our market? You know, now with COVID, you know, pretty much all businesses have an almost a worldwide reach.
Absolutely.
When you think about it. Okay. But how do you, you know, to think, you know, that way, now you have a product or service that used to be very niche within your geographic area. And now it's opened it up. How do you manage the growth in that larger geographic region? Those are things that have to be taken into consideration.
Absolutely.
When you're putting a strategy together. So when you have somebody who comes in, And I know you guys out there have had this. 9 out of 10 of you have already experienced this. When you've got somebody, how many of you are hit daily with digital marketers coming in and saying, I can do this for you? Or, you know, SEO marketers or these people saying, I can do this for you. It'll bring this many leads in, you know, and all of this other stuff. And they have no idea about your business. They don't know what your strategy is. They don't know what you're over. How can they tell you that they're going to be able to do that without understanding this?
Oh my goodness.
I know.
Oh my goodness. You just,
opened up a whole can of worms here.
Oh my God. I'm not even going to comment. It's just going to infuriate me.
But it's true. This is what we're trying to get across to the audience out there is, you know, there's a lot of those the rabbits,
I forget. I know you're trying to say it. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You know, there's a lot of those shiny objects out there that are going to be thrown at you as business owners. And the more you grab onto those shiny objects, the farther you're going to get away from your mission of your business and the vision of your business. Absolutely. And let you have a strategy behind it.
And again, and then it takes us back to, you know, that not saying that they're all bad. The thing is that they're not coming at it the right way.
Exactly.
By, you know, if someone reached out to me and said, you know, we'd love to leverage your, you know, help you with Google Ads, but we really want to understand what your strategy is, I would actually be more apt to think about them, because that's part of an alignment thing that I would go, I would want the agency to want to think like that first, because they would have to take into consideration what I've already got in place so it could support what I'm trying to achieve as a long-term goal. Exactly. And now we're both on that same page, you know? So if there's anybody out here that does that initial strategy you talked about, think about understanding strategy better when you're reaching out to these small business owners. So it makes more sense, because now that's going to resonate better with me as a small business owner that might, that at the end of the day, still might want to use somebody else to do ad Google Ads for me. But yeah, I mean, I can't stand that, because there is no magic bullet. You know, the objective is, I get calls constantly. People set me up with people and they immediately go into a sales pitch. I'm like, slow down. You need to understand who I am. You got to understand what we're trying to achieve. And then does that, are you the right fit right now? I've been on trainings and they're like, you know, can we get you signed up for this group? And I'm like, no. And they're like, but did you enjoy the training? Absolutely. Then why would you not sign up? Because I signed, because you didn't ask me why I signed up. I signed up because I need to understand, there's the education, this topic, because this is something we will have to address in my organization. So I need to start to do my research today. You are part of my research strategy right now.
Right.
And then when I'm ready and we've got the bandwidth to add this, we either will try it ourselves or we're just going to go screw it. We'd rather have you do it because you did such a great job of letting us know you get it.
Right. No, you're absolutely right. You know, one of the things that I did when I first launched Marketatomy, which was a rebranding effort, mm-hmm. was in an effort to explain to early stage business owners the process that goes into place as far as growing your business is we cover five critical phases. Okay. And that mm-hmm. first phase is your napkin phase. That's the fun. That's the idea phase. That's your ideology. That's where you come up with the idea. Oh yeah, this would be great to start a business. Okay. But it's not a business until you can go out in the market, which is phase two, and do your research and making sure that it's going to be a viable product or service. Are people going to pay money for it? Are they going to pay the dollars that you want for it? You know, and then we move into the business model phase. And that's the most critical component of the entire process is the fact that you're building your business model. This is where your systems and your processes and everything come into play.
Mm-hmm.
And until that is a proven business model, can you go for funding? Okay. Mm-hmm. And that funding is going to lead to the growth stage. You know, and understanding that there is a process, a strategy for launching and growing a small business, you're going to find yourself behind the eight ball.
Absolutely. You know, and then if you do it right, you might not even need to be able to do funding. You know, it's depending on the type of industry you're in, exactly. The relationships you might already have in place. You know, I actually was considering going for funding for our organization, and my board was like, you don't need to. You've got a lot of things in place. Besides the fact that I'm actually a strategist, they're like, yeah. You could act, if you can bootstrap long enough, you won't need to take a penny. And we're actually on that path. We've been on that path. So we stepped back, you know, just to be totally transparent. We were looking at possibly trying to raise $2 million.
Yeah.
You know? And then, of course, we would have did that over a period of time. But at the end of the day, we realized the give back for that, or the give up that we would have to do is not really worth it.
How much are you willing to give up of your business, you know, to have that happen? I'm at that stage, too, in the sense where I have so much content that's revenue generating content. You know, take a step back and concentrate on getting those things, you know, mature enough to be bringing in that residual revenue and everything so that I can move on to a new project or a new, you know, product or whatever, you know, but
exactly.
Yeah, but, you know, just going gung-ho forward without planning is sure to
recipe for disaster.
It's a recipe for disaster.
And you know, and we can talk about many different strategies. One of my best strategies is around partnership structure.
Exactly.
You know, partnerships. And again, these are all things built on top of the house, the foundation. And you can't be thinking about trying to partner with people if you still haven't determined what your strategy. You don't know what your purpose is. You don't know right. what your mission, your visions, your values. How do everyone in the organization and outside the organizations are supposed to be act on behalf of the brand?
Right.
You know, because if when you're thinking partnerships, you're thinking about swimming upstream a lot of the times.
Right.
And you as a small business owner have so much power because you can be so concentrated, so focused, where bigger brands are kind of a bit diluted. You come in and you help support one of their initiatives, and that becomes you don't need as much as they need to survive, to be sustainable, and that opens the door. But they're not going to work and partner with you if they don't feel that you're going to take care of their brand because you haven't taken care of your own brand.
That's exactly it. That's exactly it. I'm going through a situation right now where I'm working between two different companies and trying to determine, is it a strategic partnership or is it a client-based situation? How do I structure this to where it's going to benefit everybody involved, mm-hmm. you know, in our objectives down the road? You know, and that's where you have to take a step back and you have to really think about, okay, what is my overall vision? And does this feed my vision for my company?
Absolutely.
You know, absolutely. And that's exactly it. So what are some of the common challenges or pitfalls that businesses often encounter during the strategic planning process? And this is critical because I've done this so many times with clients.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think the biggest thing is there's a few. One is not thinking big enough. You know,
exactly.
That's
exactly.
One. Another one is not involving the right people at the right time in the process.
Right.
You know, some business owners, because they're still in that I have to do everything mode.
Right.
They complete the entire strategy without getting input from any one person. And that doesn't create excitement.
Right.
Because if they didn't help you create it, there's no skin in the game for them. There's no excitement for them to. They're like, well, that's great. That's a great strategy. But there's no buy-in. So you're not getting any buy-in from people. You know, strategy is about leveraging other people's experiences, other people's, you know, everything about the other person. Because, again, it opens up the door for you to let them feel just as important about the business as you are.
Yeah.
You know, so bringing them in, thinking big enough, being clear enough, because you can have multiple focus areas. We call them focus areas, which is where the objectives sit in. You know, what are the focus areas, and are they big enough that you can focus on that for a year or longer? Because the objectives within those focus areas will change.
Right.
You know, they make the objectives the focus areas, and then if they get it accomplished, now what do I do? You know, you lose that steam and that momentum. But if we know that we've got this big focus area, we achieved the objective. Now everybody's like, okay, we got the objective done, but we still have, this is still where we're going.
Right.
All right. I think the obvious next step is this. You can keep the momentum going. You can keep people excited. You can also let people know when things begin and end.
Right.
So, all right. So right now we don't need this right now. So we're going to pivot because we need to do this. And, you know, it creates a better communication strategy. So communication is another one, understanding and then giving people access to the actual plan. Don't put the plan into a Word doc, a PowerPoint, and then never open the damn thing up for the next 3 to 6 months.
Right.
Those are some of the key pitfalls.
Yeah. Yeah. No, putting it on the shelf and never going back and looking at it is critical, you know, why spend the money on a strategic plan if you're not going to use it?
They do it all the time.
I know.
I'm not talking cheap, you know, and these are some of the bigger plant companies, but the smaller companies, you're spending money, even if you're spending $1,000 for somebody to do something for you. you know, what's the next step? How do we integrate this into everybody's lives? It's like, this should be just as, this should be open to as much as your calendar.
Right.
As far as I'm concerned.
Right. And then the other thing that I see that they make a mistake of is operating in a vacuum. Like you said, just going through and the plan would be just developed through you, you know, that type deal. But having that coach or that mentor or somebody who you can bounce ideas off of.
Yeah.
And who can, you know, that is critical. Yes.
Absolutely. And then if you, and for those who may not be able to afford to have a coach or somebody at the beginning, or, you know, not have employees or whatnot, you enlist your peers.
Yeah.
And put together a peer group or join masterminds or other groups and figure out, how do I get, you know, some of the stuff I'm struggling with in front of them. You know, right. You guys have I met you through one of your mastermind relationships.
We have a small and medium business mastermind.
Yeah. So so I think another thing that small businesses get wrong is they think they are alone.
Right.
And I always say, you need to focus more on what you have in your own backyard, because you'd be surprised.
Right.
So at the end of the day, you know, having, you know, you don't want to put your mother on, but if your mother happens to be really good at business, you put your mother on.
Well, we try. If she's, you know, there's three types of people that will invest in a company. You know, there's the three F's. I think it's friends. What is it? Family, friends, and fools.
Mm-hmm.
Is what we call them. Okay. And they don't always have to be money, you know, or anything like that. But the family and friends, okay, those are the ones that you have to pay attention to, because you bring them in, you have to understand that there is going to be some pushback.
Absolutely.
You know, there's going to be some pushback. And if you can't handle that and handle it correctly, then don't hire them or don't bring them on, you know, those kind of things. But if they're willing to come in and they're wanting to help you,
truly help you.
Yes, definitely take advantage of it. You know, my husband is in business with me, you know, and I sit and I talk about, and he gives me ideas, you know, all the time. We're working through this partnership thing that we're talking about right now. So these are things that we want to be able to take advantage of. So with that being said, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got my responses to this, but I want to hear yours.
Sure.
In a competitive marketplace, what methods do you recommend for small businesses to differentiate themselves from competition and gain a competitive edge?
Absolutely. Marketing? Most people, I think a lot of people don't like comp. I love competition. And
it's competition.
Exactly. I heard from a guy, he goes, I don't even want to be in business if there's no competition in it.
Yeah.
They pay for all the mistakes that you don't have to make.
Exactly. And that's exactly it. Yes. Yes.
So I want some competition, because then I can immediately, you know, especially if I'm a brand new business and I don't have a track record, I don't have a client, I don't even really know what my product is. You can immediately start your market research phase right there, and also create a benchmark because of where they might be, which immediately lets you know where you, what's possible for you.
Right.
Even if it works, so you can help. So it could be part of your validation process, your minimum viable product, if you will. So for me, competition is extremely important. You know, you can leverage tools. You know, worst case scenario, I use a number of tools that are very advanced, like SEMrush and Ahrefs.
Right.
But the freest tool you can use is Google. If you want to find out how valuable your potential idea or product is, do a search on the product. Don't look for brand names, because that's what you're going to get. You do a search for the product, because you need to get into the minds of the people who are going to buy. So if you can type in Invisalign, because you're going to sell it, see what comes up, see who comes up, see what the conversation around it is. Then you go to websites like Quora and see what questions are being asked. If you do happen to be in business and you either have clients or you've worked with people who have clients, you need to start to communicate directly with those clients through surveys, through opportunities to ask them questions about why they made the decisions they made, because they will always be different than why you think they made the decision.
Right.
And then you take that language, and that language becomes part of how you're going to get out into the market, you know?
Right.
So there's so many different ways you can leverage competition, you know, and it when it comes to, you know, like I said, validating a product or service, you know, again, if you have the audience and you just need to improve on your unique selling proposition, because that's what you kind of mentioned, how do I improve the product? Ask people what it would take to improve the product.
Right.
What do you like about my product? What do you not like about my product? Again, if you don't, but you've known, like you have a friend that goes, I just bought this the other day. And you're like, yeah, I'm thinking about going to this business. They're like, yeah, that's great, because we bought one for the family the other day. And now you want to go into research mode. Tell me more about that purchase.
Yeah.
Tell me more about that. That becomes research. They want to talk about it because they're excited.
Right.
Take advantage of that.
No, and it all, and that brings us around to the customer experience. Mm-hmm. Okay. Because that is a good, number one, focus of your strategy. Your entire business is built around your customer experience. And mm-hmm. So if you can't put yourself in your customer's shoes and not assume, but back it up with research, all right, you're going to be, you know, and part of that is looking at your competition. What are they doing? What are they not doing? There's a gap out there that you can fill that's going to provide that value added benefit that you bring to the table that they don't.
Absolutely. You
know, so these are all ways that strategic planning, and I'm trying to tie this. We could go on forever.
Yes, we could. And we have. We've had numerous conversations already.
Yes. So, you know, but what I want to do is I want to start coming to a close on some of this stuff. But there's definitely so much more that we can talk about, you know.
Absolutely.
I just don't even know. But anyway, so let's talk about storytelling.
Yep.
Okay. What role does storytelling and brand narrative play in the strategic planning process?
Absolutely. I'll make this real simple. And I heard this, I don't remember who to credit it to, but facts tell, stories sell.
Oh, yes.
That's it.
Oh,
You involve stories. People remember, they can associate, they can, you know, they can feel themselves in it. They can see themselves using it. Now they want to leverage it.
That's exactly it. That's exactly it. And that's what develops those relationships. And ultimately, the goal that you have when it comes to business is you want to turn those customers into raving fans on the back end, because that ultimately becomes your selling, your sales team.
Absolutely.
Those people. So what advice do you give small business leaders who have been hesitant or unsure about embarking on the journey of developing a strategic plan?
I say, if you want to stop wasting valuable time, energy, resources,
money.
When I say resources, that could be any and everything. Yeah. You know, anything that's costing you and you're not getting an ROI back on.
Right.
You need to start thinking about you have to understand you're probably not thinking strong enough. You're probably not being clear enough. You haven't established who you truly are. What is so unique about you and your organization? You know, these things will make everything else clearer. If you've never done it, get into a group, start doing some research. Make it a priority to go, I need to understand business strategy and strategy planning. And that itself will probably start to motivate you when you realize the true benefits of what that can do for your business. And then make it a priority. Stop being the small business owner and be the CEO of the small business.
Right. That's exactly it. And for those of you who are do-it-yourselfers, we do have a 3-part strategic planning process course in marketatomy.academy. So you can always go to marketatomy.academy and go into business planning, into our strategic planning process. So anyway, so those unfortunately, we're coming up on the end of another session of Charged Up Studio. And thank you, Jimmy, for joining us today and sharing your expertise. Any last minute tips you want to leave our listeners?
Yeah. Again, like I said, try to figure out what your true north is. That, to me, that is the most important thing. Your true north is your vision. And when you're clear about that, my advice when you're trying to create that vision statement, it's never about your products and services. It's always about your industry and the people you're trying to help. That is what will enroll everybody from your stakeholders, from your board to your customers to potential partners. They're buying into the support, what the opportunity of helping that same audience that you help versus trying to help you put another dollar in your pocket.
That's true. That's true. If you take the money out of it, you know, the money will fall. The money will come. You know, if you get your focus right, you know, you couldn't have said it any better. Couldn't have said it any better. So that concludes our podcast for today. Please leave a review on any of the streaming platforms you're listening to us on, or go to our Charged Up State Studio Facebook page and leave a review there. Charged Up Studio is the product of Marketatomy and Marketatomy Academy, the e-learning system designed specifically with the micro business owner in mind. For more information and to register for our many courses, go to Marketatomy, MarketAtomy.academy. And until next week, where we'll bring you another exciting guest, go out and have a charged up week. Talk to you later. You've been listening to Charged Up Studio Live, the podcast with you, the small business owner in mind, with your host, Dana Olivo. Join us every Tuesday as we bring you valuable tips and insights into many of the topics you don't know about growing a successful business. Please leave us a review on any of the streaming platforms you are listening to, or visit us on the YouTube or Facebook page and leave a review. Or subscribe so you don't miss another episode. You can also support us through Patreon by visiting our website, chargedupstudio.live, and click on the Patreon link. Until next week, go out and have a charged up week.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.